And you welcome back to the third and final hour of the 9 till noon show on this Monday morning. It is 3 minutes past 11. And usually at this time of the day, we would speak to Brendan Devenny. And you know what? I tell you what we'll do. Let's do that this morning as well, because it seems to be the handiest thing to do. Brendan just getting himself set up in the car. Good to see the sun is still shining somewhere. Brendan, very good morning to you. Oh, and we, I think, have just lost Brendan, actually. We'll get Brendan back in just a moment. Brendan, obviously, will be speaking about the DL debate tonight. And while we're waiting to get Brendan back, just re-establish that that connection. Oisin's back in studio with us again. We're just going to reflect a bit back on the match yesterday. Oisin, we're just waiting for Brendan to get back into us. But before we do, just refresh our memory with regards to what's going to happen on this night week.
Yeah, our big All-Ireland final road to Croker, Donal Highlands road to Croker, experienced the build-up with us on All-Ireland final week, and it's all going to kick off next Monday, the 21st of July, with our big match countdown. And it is, of course, taking place at the Clannery Hotel in Letterkenny. We're going to have an expert panel, which will be confirmed later today. We're also going to have live music from the likes of David Craig, and Darren Butch going to join us as well. And on the night too, if you do attend the event, you could be one of the lucky winners, not winner, but winners, to get the exclusive Michael Murphy Sports Donegal goodie bags, where there will be a few nice items in there up for grabs. Tickets for the big night are priced at €20, Donal. And as we told you earlier at the start of the programme, they're available now online at highlandradio.com. And we are, of course, supporting the Donegal Team Training Fund ahead of the final. Plus, we're also getting behind Northwest Special Olympics as well. So it's a huge show, and it's taking place next Monday night. And the best advice we can give you is get your tickets early. Drop on to highlandradio.com now. They are on sale there. And Donal, we know that there's going to be an absolute scurry of people looking for tickets.
Absolutely.
You don't have any, do you?
No, I don't, and I won't. But I will still be asked. I will get calls every day. Do you have any contacts in Waterford? Do you have any contacts in Waterford? Do you have any contacts in Waterford?
On across the road to get a cup of tea after I've done the piece of you, because obviously we were in early this morning planning this, but I didn't go to get a better breakfast, a cup of tea.
Yeah.
But five people asked me over in the place across the road.
Oh, so can I just say, no, Oisin doesn't have tickets. No, I don't have tickets. And I strongly suspect Greg doesn't have any tickets either.
Well, we do have two tickets, Donal.
Oh, two tickets. Yes,
we have two tickets for the All-Ireland final. And an overnight stay in the Hardcourt Hotel in Dublin City Centre the night before the match. And if you would like to be part of that, and you would like to be the winner, rather, just nip onto our website as well. For just €5 or three for €10, you can enter the draw where we have two All-Ireland football final tickets and an overnight stay on the night before the match at the Hardcourt Hotel in Dublin. They're for nothing, Donal, and they're on sale now, and I can tell you they're flying out the door, so they are. And we will pick the winner of that draw at 11:45 with Greg on the 9 till noon show on the 23rd, Wednesday, the 23rd of July, the Wednesday before. So it's all very good. It's building up nicely, Donal. Uh-huh. So it is. Again, I said this earlier, we are in a privileged position now to be where we are, that we have a team that's going to an All-Ireland final, and we have to enjoy every single moment of this build-up, and you can, of course, do it with Highland Radio as well. Indeed. And it'll be a busy fortnight for myself and the man that's going to join you now.
And the man that's going to join me now is patiently waiting in his car in the blazing sunshine. They appear to certainly, where I know, are you in Newton or where are you?
Is he home yet?
He's in the car somewhere.
I was on my Brian McNuff for the full Irish there, so he's been well sorted, Donal.
Well, I tell you what, Brian McNiff is doing something right. Because the sun is fair shining where you are, Brendan.
Beautiful. Listen, we went for a wee walk around the beach there. Listen, beautiful Bundoran by the sea. I could sing you a song. But
you could.
I think Brendan, Donal. Brendan's the type of fella that doesn't pay for his food. He goes everywhere and he gets fed. And it doesn't cost him a penny.
Easy. easy.
Well, mind you, I do in fairness.
I'll take it where it's going, you know. I won't force it.
So, I mean, Brendan, I'm sure Oisin is there. It's called Highland Radio's Big Match Countdown. I'm sure, as far as you're concerned, what's happening next Monday is the DL debate on steroids.
That's it. Listen, and Oisin's mentioned it. The things go absolutely crazy. But listen, we got to grow with it. The season's going to be over soon. There's only two teams left in the country, and we're right in there and in the mix, and we're fourth ever final, and the excitement's going to be unbelievable. There's so many things happening, you can imagine, though. There's calls and texts coming on everywhere, and the whole country now wants insights into Donegal, wants to promote this game. So it's brilliant that we're at the heart of it.
Yeah, you've been watching games all season, Brendan. I mean, you know as much as anyone about the game. No, very few know more about Donegal than you in terms of play, in terms of, and you've watched this team develop over the past number of years. Based on what you saw yesterday in Croke Park, we're not going to take anything for granted on Sunday week. But I'm sure there's not too much fear there at this point in time.
Yeah, well, I suppose the big thing, and Jim did it in his last time as well, players get to the peak of their powers. They express themselves to a level where they're all playing something around a 7, 8, 9, which is right up there and the best you can play in any game. And if you look at the opposition we've played this last number of weeks, and particularly three Division 2 teams, when we've gotten top of them, we've absolutely blown them away. There's so much potential and ability in there, and the cohesion, and myself and Ashley and Brendan were talking about yesterday, the way the teams link it up, the selfish play, particularly for the goals that we got, there was other opportunities for other players, but they all took the right options. And now that we have a clean bill of health with Keelan McGonigal back, you know, the form of Patrick coming on, the whole team now has just been building. And whereas last year, and we talked about it yesterday, we were tired against Galway. We had our wee kind of poorish patch going through the group stages. You know, even against the game to Rome, we could have won it. And we didn't play that well against Mayo. But since then, the second half against Louth, the second half's Monaghan, and yesterday, now we're coming into a final and the guys are playing out of their skin. Don't I can only imagine what training's like, the buzz, the intensity of training, and Donegal's coming there, you know, and I think very different. 2014 was a real dour, poor occasion in terms of Kerry went negative, defensive, so did we. It wasn't a great final. This is going to be real end-to-end. This is going to be one of the best finals, I think, in a long time. And maybe the quarterfinals were really good outside of Tyrone and Dublin, which was really exciting. Both semi-finals ended up a bit one-sided, but I think you have the best two teams in Ireland now playing.
A comment Jim McGuinness made in his interview on RTE after the game yesterday stuck with me, because not only is he going to have a hard job picking a starting 15 for that match, he's going to have a hard job whittling down to a 26-person panel, because he has got a lot of players fighting for place on that panel. And there's many players out there that will not even be guaranteed a place on the panel, never mind a place on the starting 15.
And Don, that's a great point. I was even thinking about the panel there. And yeah, with a clean bill of health, the squeeze has come on because everybody is contributing. So, I mean, you look at McBurdy, McGee, McGonigal, Dara O'Brien coming on, and McFadden Ferry yesterday, and everything that everybody's given on that team. So the fact that there's nobody's kind of out of form now. Everybody is playing to a fairly high level. So how do you even get into starting 15? And you're right, probably one of the greatest, I suppose, you know, compliments you could pay is that you can't get into the squad. You're going to have top footballers outside of the 26, which is a tough thing for Jim to do. I admit that, Donald. But listen, in terms of us going in and what training, because we all know that, you know, it's a practice pitch where championships are won. So you can imagine now the squad and how they're training with each other. And that means that when you come to play opposition, and we've seen it in the last three games, whenever we turned a screw on them, they couldn't handle our pace and our ferocity. And that comes from the level that they're training at night in, night out.
And when Kerry would have looked at Paddy McBurdy, for instance, when he came on, and others that came on as well, Kerry would have seen Paddy McBurdy come on and play out of his skin for that, whatever it was, 20, 25 minutes he was on the pitch. I mean, some people asking, why is he taking off Murphy? I mean, if you're taking off Murphy, but you can replace Murphy with a Paddy McBurdy on form, you're in a good place.
Yeah, we were saying that, you know, we all looked at each other and thought this is a wee bit early because Michael is so integral to everything we do. Now, some people said then maybe he got a wee bit of a knock or something, it was precautionary, but listen, Jim knew what he was doing. There was enough talent and ability out there to take that around, and I think it's very important for Donegal. We've seen it last year, the team did grow and they survived without Michael in many ways, but of course we want him in there and he's so integral to everything we do. I mean, the first point that he had to talk about setting the tone, and you know, the Donegal fans, even the two-pointer to kick after that into the breeze, I mean, he brings so much to it. But you're right, Patrick, again, we didn't play well against Mayo. Patrick, come on, it didn't really happen for him. The same against Louth, but against Monaghan, he really came on with the bit between the teeth again. And he picked up where he left off yesterday, and he was very disappointed. Maybe he could have had a goal at the end. He didn't get the ball. You could see
it was quite clear he was disappointed. I mean, and to have that hunger, to have that passion, yeah. He was dieting in nothing. He was there to do it.
And we were saying, like, the likes of him and Ryan and Michael are the tie-in to 2014 and the games that they had yesterday, you know. Again, Ryan McHugh using all his intelligence. And again, Donald, you know the thing is, when we do this in the DL debate, if I start naming Donegal players, you need to name them all. You just cannot get, you need to, really, I was talking this morning about the team, and you really need to actually say, just focus in and say the full forward line and say talk about them, because if you start to go down the names, you can't leave anybody out.
And that is a really good thing, because it isn't a matter of, oh, we have Michael Murphy and whoever else is there. We have, you know, we have a couple of lads, but we need Murphy, and if we don't have Murphy, we're in trouble, because Murphy is propping up. There's no one propping up anyone who, whatever 15 take to the pitch in Croke Park on All-Ireland final day, will be there on merit, and every one of those 15 will be in a position to do an absolutely stellar job. And if anyone is being substituted, they'll be substituted by someone with real calibre, with real talent, and you know, who can really make a big contribution. So there's no one depending on, there's no one propping anything up. That's a team that's there totally and wholly on merit.
And probably a difference, that's the difference straight away between us and Kerry. Don't they really play through certain players? And as we all know, David Clifford, listen, he's the best forward in Ireland. How we shut him down, but really, you know, the supporting cast in there, the Caseys, I know Paul Casey has had an injury, but the younger Casey lads that's in there, they're not nowhere near as dangerous as our inside line. So, you know, you've got David, then you've got Sean Shane, you've got Clifford, and they really play through those three players. Well, we don't. We play through everybody, and everybody is causing problems. I suppose that's the big issue for Kerry. Now, if we sit a wee bit deep to negate David, of course, then you have the danger of two-pointers coming, particularly from Sean O'Shane. But listen, Jim will have a plan. We'll trust that. But certainly, in terms of us shutting down some of their players, who do you shut down in Donegal, as you say? And really, Donald, who would have Padraig Mogan at cornerback? What other team in Ireland? Mm-hmm. I mean, Padraig Mogan is really a half-forward player. And because we have so many half-forwards, we have so much ability, we have him springing from there in the attack. So what Jim's done, he's created a zonal defence. And then when we break and we get the ball, we have so many attack-based top players who can drop the shoulder, beat people, and that's why we're so dangerous.
The other interesting thing I found yesterday, and I speak, and I always say this to you, I speak from someone that doesn't know an awful lot about football, but it seemed to me that even 18, 19 points ahead, the lads in defence were playing out of their skin. They were letting Meath get nothing through. And I mean, and they were defending as though they were fighting for the final point in a tied game. They were not defending like a team that were 18 points ahead. They were in it with as much ferocity in the 70th minute as they were in the first.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, when you're playing with a team like that there and there's such a buzz, you know, you're on about places. No one's guaranteed a place and no one's taking that for granted. And I think going back to the training thing, you know, you finish out training, you finish runs hard and you do everything to a level where you're always pushing it on. And that's the mantra goes through the team. So Donegal wasn't going to suddenly just sit on it and mess about. Of course, sometimes you might kill the play and slow down and build a score, if you like. But by and large, everybody was chomping at it. You know, the Donegal fans were loving it. And I suppose when you look at it, you know, those are, as a footballer, they're the best times of your life. You know, you're coasting in an Ireland semi-final. You're at the peak of your fitness, you know, in terms of your playing career. And listen, the excitement that must be on them lads. And listen, everybody in County is just so proud of them. And when you think a couple of years ago where Donegal was in terms of we'd hit that bad patch, Jim comes back in and, you know, there we are. We're right up now. And listen, we'll go into the final, I would say, as a slight favourite. But listen, it's going to be a very different game because you looked at, you know, particularly the likes of Foley and Murphy and these lads in the Kerry defence, they were snapping at Tyrone coming in the last day. They didn't allow any room and they were getting bits and pieces of them that you didn't see from Meath. So defensively, they'll be a very different animal. Big O'Connor, midfield, an absolute horse of a game outside of the three lads that we're talking about. So Kerry are going to bring a completely different opposition and, you know, they'll be coming there fully expecting to win the match as well. So listen, it's going to be, it'll all come down to the small moments, but I think in our side, don't we have a lot more match winners.
In terms of that Kerry Tyrone game, and obviously our neighbours are not going to Dublin in 2 weeks' time, Kerry had too much for them in the end, really, didn't they?
Yeah, listen, it was a funny season for Tyrone. We didn't know what to expect from them. Of course, they got that one over us in Ballybuffet when we didn't play well, and we still probably could have beaten them. And listen, they probably had Armagh beaten as well. So you were like, right, where are Tyrone? Very unlucky to get relegated. With Malaga Roar coming in, I would have thought he would have got a bounce off them. You know, you've seen them winning the minor in 20s there again this year. You know, they've just a conveyor belt of talent. So you're wondering how they were going to come out. And as you've seen at the back, you know, they had nobody to mark Clifford. You know, they had nobody like McCall on our side. Hampsey's probably lost that bit of pace. Devlin and Cormac Quinn in there, too small to pick him up, but they were far too open. Way too late switching Teague back on him. But listen, Clifford was running amok at the time. So, you know, Morgan had a poor season as well. You know, McCurry very poor the last day. So, unlike our team, Don, where so many players are on form, there's so many of their players off form. Now, they still took it to Kerry for parts of that game, and their running game was strong in that. But yeah, Kerry were way ahead of them. And I say it was strange because we've had such a great season of football, so many great games, but both semi-finals ended up being very one-sided, and definitely ours. I mean, a 20-point victory, I mean, who would have seen that coming, Donal? So probably a tough day, tough morning for a few Meath men out there. But listen, it was still a decent season for them. But I don't know where Tyrone are going from here. You know, their support has been very strange this year, having the big crowds at games and that, for all their success underage and that. So I think there's maybe a wee bit of a rebuild or a reset needed from Malachy Roar. But they definitely have one of the best managers out there, so I expect that'll happen.
In terms of the Dáil debate tonight, obviously a strong panel. There'll be a lot of talk about both matches, and I'm sure the focus is going to be on what happened in Croke Park yesterday.
100%, yeah. Listen, we've got Fergal Logan, former Tyrone player and All-Ireland winning manager, on with us. Bernard Flynn's going to be on, of course. Meath legend, a great wee guy, Bernard, good friend of mine. Niall Loughran of Irish News is going to be on our own, John Gilday as well. So yeah, we'll go through the game in depth, and listen, of course, we'll talk about Tyrone and talk about, you know, a wee bit about the final maybe. We'll not say too much because we have the big Monday preview coming up next week.
So you want to hold all that for the Dáil debate on steroids in the Clamoran.
I should not be texting me, right? That's it. No more talk about Kerry Donegal.
I'm literally doing it here.
He's texting you already. He's already at it.
I'll just hear the mics going dead. I'll be, what's that? What happened there? But no, listen, we want to keep the build up, of course, for next Monday. That's going to be a massive show and a great entertaining night. And I think, Donal, as well, you know, we've seen it with live shows out there. When people come down, you know, there's such great will and crack. And of course, all the guests there will be mingling with everybody in the crowd and loads of football chat. And when I'm in around Croke Park Hotel in the Skylon at the weekend there, you know, some of the best crack is just meeting people and randomly talking about different things that might happen in the game, and what do you think, and what's this and what's that. And you know, at the minute, because Donegal are playing so well, it's such a great time for everybody. We're all sharing this together. Even you Waterford guys can join in. So yeah, it's a great time, Donal. It's a great time for us, and anybody out there will have a brilliant, brilliant experience. As I say, we're going to have an absolute host of star names out there, and as I say, have a great night.
Thank you, Brendan. And on behalf of us Waterford guys, we did win the minor hurling All-Ireland earlier a couple of weeks back. So we have something.
Do you know anybody in Waterford with tickets, Donal?
I do actually know someone in Waterford with tickets. But the bad news is they're using them to go to the match themselves.
Right, so okay.
There you go.
As I suspect a lot of people will. Brendan Devaney, Oisín Kelly, thank you both very
much
indeed. Thanks, Donal. Now it's time for our Monday Focus. And today on Monday Focus, we are looking at the Citizens Information Service, and it's commemorating 50 years of bridging the information gap between the public and state services in this country. Delighted to say we're joined on Zoom this morning by Sharon Dillon, who is Regional Manager of the North Connacht and Ulster Citizens Information Service. Sharon, very good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you for the invitation to come and speak to you this morning.
Greg's off on a break. This is Donald speaking. That's grand. I've been called worse, believe me. It's the Citizens Information Network. It's a very important one. Those of us of a certain age will remember that you would have reacted with the Citizens Information Service in libraries or in public buildings, and it was a face-to-face service. Now I suspect an awful lot of it is done online, but the core raison d'etre of citizens' advice is still the same. People have questions about services, about what's available, what rights they have. You're the people they go to.
That's right, Donal, and it's actually just as we remind us, actually citizens' information, not citizens' advice.
Oh, sorry. Excuse me, the CAB, was the Citizens' Advice Bureau? Is that the UK? Am I getting confused?
The Citizens' Advice Bureau would be in Britain.
Oh, that's the UK. Sorry. So, that's what I have. Sorry. So citizens' information.
So, you're right. That's where people would go in circumstances where they need clarity in terms of their rights and entitlements, what information is available. And I like to think that we have it all and that we're able to assist, and we assist in terms of everyone from the cradle to the grave and everything in between that. So we cover a broad spectrum of issues. I often sort of think that it's everything but the kitchen sink, and in some cases it is the kitchen sink. But predominantly, we would assist people in relation to their rights and entitlements, in relation to social welfare, employment, housing, health-related issues, consumer-related issues, and everything else. So it's a broad spectrum of queries and issues that we would assist individuals with. But when you say we move, the issue that you mentioned, moving into the online space and remotely, we're very much focused on assisting people at the coalface.
Yeah.
And our priority is face-to-face services. And that's like over 60% of people we engage with is on a face-to-face basis, either by drop-in to our centres or by appointment.
Yeah. And then there are a number of centres in Donegal, in the public services centres, the council buildings, for instance. There's a few across the county, yeah.
That's right. We're in Carndonagh. We're in Milford Public Service Centre. So Carndonagh Service Centre, Milford Public Service Centre, Letterkenny Public Service Centre, Dunloe Public Service Centre, and Donegal Town Public Service Centre. So we've got a good reach across the county. We also have a centre in the main street in Buncrana, which is a standalone centre. It's not linked in with the public services. And we have a number of outreaches as well, Donal, in the county, where we're acknowledging the fact and recognising the fact that Donegal can be difficult to navigate geographically.
Yeah.
And we also, it's also recognising that we share a large portion of the border with the north of Ireland. And we would have that continuous crossover of people, frontier workers, people who would live in one jurisdiction, work in the other, and we'd be there. And we have a specialist support service that's funded by the Centre for Cross-Border Studies in order to deliver on that in particular. And it's very diverse. You know, we have a very diverse base of people accessing our services. And I suppose we're unique in the circumstances that that the majority of our region would interface with the border with the north.
In terms of the queries you receive, and across the board, Citizens Information handled 767,168 queries across the country last year, which is a staggering amount of queries. Now, I presume that would that include online visits as well, or is that only face-to-face?
It would be the mixture.
That would be the mixture, so that would be the 60-40. Yeah, yeah. But even if it's 60-40, that means well over 380,000 of those engagements will have been face-to-face. And I presume some of those queries are going to be very, very detailed. It'll be people coming to you face-to-face over a counter and saying, I have an issue with X, Y and Z. What proportion of those queries can be answered on the spot, and what proportion require a bit of research and a response afterwards? Because I'm sure some of the queries can be very detailed and difficult and specific.
Yeah, and people's circumstances can change in a heartbeat, literally. Someone can find themselves, you know, fully employed, working their 9-to-5, 35-hour, 40-week, and suddenly a circumstance, something impacts on them that changes that in a very short space of time. And coming into the leg of our service where we can navigate them through the complexities of that. It could be, unfortunately, it could be a deterioration in their health circumstances. It could be maybe a family member or a loved one that they have to take on care and responsibilities for. That, as a result of that, that impacts on their ability to carry on an employment, for example, on a full-time basis. And just to meet their everyday responsibilities and their everyday costs. So that's where we come into the picture, and that's the critical piece. We're able to provide that early intervention and that support and that navigation and guidance around what their entitlements might be. Those are the very sort of the examples of the very complicated issues that might present us. We could have somebody who, for example, lives in Derry, works in Donegal, crosses the border on a daily basis, who wants to know about what additional rights and entitlements they may have as a result of being a frontier worker. So we're fortunate enough to be able to assist in relation. Maybe their employment circumstances change. Maybe they're working half the time in one jurisdiction, half the time in the other. So the rights and entitlements will be different. And we're fortunate enough to have somebody who understands the intricacies of that. So it's difficult to say on a daily basis whether you could deal with somebody within 5 or 10 minutes. It's really driven by their own particular set of circumstances. But we've, I mean, our information officers, I mean, they amaze me on a daily basis with the extent of the knowledge and the wealth of knowledge and experience that they have in order to assist people that they've built up over years and years. And they're always responsive. They're always on top of the next piece of legislation that's coming down the tracks or any changes in policies. And we're really, like, we're really on top of social policy issues when it comes to how things impact people, perhaps not in a positive way. So we're the driving force behind that, and we're channeling that back into the Citizens Information Board to try to affect change at another level, you know, within government, within statutory practices, their engagement with the public. So there's that element of the work that we do as well, which is equally as important as what we do on a face-to-face way.
And that puts you in a very interesting position, because you presumably you receive some government funding and support, but you're not a government agency. You're independent.
No.
You're independent of government, offering impartial advice. But it's vital that the advice you're offering is based on a solid understanding of and factual expression of the law as it stands. So you're almost the mediator. Sometimes you're the mediator between the people and the apparatus of the state.
That's right. And where we see something that is, where we see a practice that is not, is incongruent with either the legislation or the regulations, then we highlight that. That's really important, because we're not out there to be adversarial. We're out there to make change. We're out there to make effective change in a positive way. But where something isn't right, and it's impacting people in a negative way, then we're there to take it on and to challenge it.
And there must be times where your workers on the coalface are going to come across some very difficult stories, people in difficult situations, and perhaps people who are emotional, people who are in need of help. And maybe it's help that, apart from advice and information, you're not in a position immediately to offer, which must make it difficult for the people from your point of view on the coalface.
For the most part, Donald, we are able to assist in some way.
Yeah.
Where perhaps somebody needs that wee bit of additional support. We've got great contacts and connections with groups in the wider community where we can perhaps bring them on board to address other issues. So we've got we have the pulse of the community. So we'd be recognising and identifying where someone else might be able to get that wee bit of additional support beyond what we can provide. And that sometimes does happen, where it's maybe perhaps a bit of an emotional support. Yeah. It'd be counselling services. You know, perhaps if there's been a bereavement or something where somebody's circumstances have changed in that regard. So, yeah, we're fortunate enough to have those connections and those links into the local communities, because we're very much part of the community. Yeah. We're not standalone in any respect. We're very much out there and interfacing and engaging with other groups and other organisations, both locally and regionally and right across the country. And again, in terms of where we're at in North Connacht and Ulster, our counterparts in the north.
And obviously that gives it an added dimension because of that cross-border element, because obviously the law is going to be slightly different on both sides, and I'm sure in some cases your people almost need to have a working knowledge of law across the border as well, and perhaps where the changes are, where the differences are, to help people navigate that sort of, you know, cross-border jump from one to the other.
And we're very fortunate that we have those linkages, and we work very closely with the Centre for Cross-Border Cooperation, who actually fund currently a post in our... It's quite unique in that sense. We would like to see it taken on board and funded in a mainstream, because we have thousands of people who are crossing back and forth over the border. And yes, we do have... We're fortunate that we have great connections with the advice network in the north. Our colleagues who work there, we can refer case queries on to them if needs be, and certainly they'll be referring back and forth to us. And we do have that specialist post as it stands. We'll have it for another 5 months anyway, but hopefully beyond that as well, because those issues are presenting as very complex.
When I got my briefing notes this morning, I have to be honest and say I would have assumed citizens' information was there a lot longer than 50 years, that the first 25 centres were established in July 1975, which is, I mean, you know, you're substantially younger than me. And I find that surprising because it's one of those things that's always just been there. And now I thankfully have never, I've never had to present myself in person with a specific query, but I would, citizens' advice would be one of my first go-tos if I have a query over, be it pensions or whatever, you know, if I'm looking toward the future, I'm looking for information. And I would even use it sometimes as research for work in terms of a government announcement comes in about some grant or something and I want some background as to what that grant is. I'll be honest, citizens' information is I have it saved in my favourites, and that's where I will go to as my primary source of information, because it's a lot more user-friendly than gov.ie, I can tell you that for nothing.
It absolutely is, and the website is fantastic, and for dues to Citizens Information Board who moderate that website. It is accurate, it's up to date, it's reliable, it's on top of all of the recent changes. So yes, it is. It would be the go-to. I would recommend the go-to for people who are wanting, who perhaps have some ability to navigate and get to grips with their query. But for those, and it's really interesting, the people, the backgrounds that come from when they access our services and they've got, they might have 5 or 6 degrees behind them and a PhD, but they still need that wee bit of help from us. I remember actually personally dealing with a lady when I was assisting on the front desk in one of our centres, and she had a wealth of educational background, but there was just one wee thing that she wasn't sure about. And when she had been on the website, she just felt that she needed that face-to-face, in-person guidance, and she got it. And we were delighted to be able to, and that's the wonderful thing about it. It's such a privilege to be able to support and assist people through the, I suppose, from, as I say, from the cradle to the grave on everything that they are challenged with in terms or encounter as they journey through life. And it is a privilege to be part of that journey for some people.
Yeah. Sharon Dillon, Regional Manager, North Connacht and Ulster Citizens Information Service. 50th anniversary this year, still going strong. Nationally, in excess of 767,000 queries processed last year. The fact that 45% of them relate to social welfare is a telling thing in itself, but employment, housing, education, health, I mean, so many issues that we discuss here on a daily basis, both in terms of local provision and national policy. And again, sometimes there can be a huge gulf between local provision and national policy. And again, that's an area where citizens' information perhaps can be the bridge, where someone can say, well, the national policy is X, but what's actually happening locally on the doorstep is Y. And again, I don't want to use the word mediator, because you're predominant job is to provide people with information so that they can go on and pursue. But I mean, in a way, you are mediating between the state and the people. And maybe sometimes the fact that you're located in the public services centres beside county council officials, that might be no harm.
If we encounter a difficulty at a local level, we can certainly, you know, physically engage to get a solution at that level. And that's always what we're looking for. We're looking for solutions for people. And yes, that is definitely an advantage of being located in the public service centres. I suppose being also in the public service centres means that we see people, you know, lots and lots of people perhaps managing the put through and the flow through of clients can sometimes be challenging because of the demand for the service. Like our service never slacks. It used to be, I suppose, years ago when I was involved in citizens information and previous to that citizens advice in another life, you could have seen maybe sort of wee lulls at certain times of the year. Don't see that anymore. It's this constant flow through of people. And yes, sometimes it is to our advantage that we have access to, we're on site with the local services and try to get something resolved before it spirals and goes further than it should be. Because you want to take the stress and the pressure away from the individual. Life's challenging enough at times. Mm-hmm. We want to be there to sort of smooth that process. And we're more than mediators, we're advocates. You know, we advocate for people. We advocate for people on an individual basis, and we advocate for society changes in legislation, changes in practices, changes in policies. And we're, you know, we're at the coalface, and we do see what the impact of those policies are on individuals on a day-to-day basis.
Sharon Dillon, thank you very much indeed. Quick few comments before we go to our final piece for the day. I want to thank the woman who handed in my phone in Carndonagh at around 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. I was at the AIB bank machine. I walked away without my phone. I didn't realise for around half an hour. A very kind lady handed the phone into security. She's an angel in disguise. I'd love to find her to thank her properly. My bank card and all was in it. If she hears this, can she please make herself known? So if you're the person who handed in a phone in Carndonagh at around 5 o'clock on Saturday, the owner of the phone would like to thank you, and well done to you. Hi all at Highland, please say hi to Brendan Devaney, fantastic Donegal team. This is from Audrey and Claddy. Sam is heading for the lovely Donegal. Audrey, so believe a lot of people. However, another caller says, look, don't underestimate Kerry. Meath did not give Donegal a hard game. They had an easy game yesterday. Look, 20-point winning margin, that's not going to happen in very many GAA games, never mind semi-finals. No one is under any illusion with regards to, you know, the fact that Kerry, and I think in fairness, Brendan Devaney did absolutely acknowledge that, that Kerry is going to be a whole different ballgame. Congratulations to Jim and the boys. Well done, Finbar Rorty, on Man of the Match. The tickets for the All-Ireland will be so expensive. I've heard they'll be €100. This is far too expensive. We don't even know where this money is going. For families, it's crazy pricing. The county board needs to speak out so the tickets are priced fairly. At least if they're €80, €90, you'd have a bit of petrol money left. We all have to speak up. Now, there was also another big match at the weekend if you're a Chelsea fan, because Chelsea are the world club champions. So Chelsea are describing themselves at the moment as the best club in the world. Congratulations to Donegal and Chelsea Football Club on their wonderful result. And a big shout out to Liam Delap, who has Donegal relatives. Indeed, he does. And well done to all the Delaps. This comes from a Chelsea fan. And Chelsea, well done on becoming the world club champions now. Okay. It is time to go to Zoom because we have a very interesting conversation. The Donegal Intercultural Platform is hosting the Irish Refugee Council this week, a host of events starting today in Ballybuffet. It ends on Friday. Events all over Donegal, and the idea is to answer your questions and to brief people on their rights and so on and so forth. Joined on the line, on Zoom, excuse me, by Sibusio Shuma, who is a member of the Donegal Intercultural Platforms team, and also by Franco Boyle, manager of the Information and Advocacy Service of the Irish Refugee Council. Sibusio and Frank, you're both very welcome indeed this morning.
I want to thanks go to very you. Much for having us.
Yeah, thank absolute you. Pleasure. Sibusio, I want to go to you first, and I do apologise if I'm butchering your name. Do please forgive me. But Sibusio, in terms of this hosting of the IRC, how important an event is this for Donegal Intercultural Platform? Oh, I think Sibusio has frozen. Oh, no, she's not. No, she's back. Sibusio, how important an event is this for the Intercultural Platform?
Hi, Greg. I hope you can hear me now.
I can. I'm we can indeed. Yes, we can
connection
indeed.
Yeah. Is not so good.
No, it's fine.
Yeah,
we can hear you.
We're already out in Ballybuffet, and the network is not so good, but I hope that I'm going to be able to pass the message across. So this is a really important collaboration that we're having with IRC, because we have so much questions that people have, and we try to answer as much as we can. But when we've collaborated with this organization, we feel that we are going to cover a lot because IRC has been here longer than we have. And we have other resources that include the resources that we cannot offer here in other departments. So this is really important to us because we'll have people's questions answered by experts in different departments.
And Frank, going to yourself, it's important that this happens because there are so many questions, and as well as the questions, there is so much misinformation, and it's really important, I'm sure, from your point of view, to draw that distinction between the misinformation and the actual information and make sure that everybody is at least dealing with facts.
Yes, and thanks very much for having us on. In relation to the importance of this, we're very grateful to the Donegal Intercultural Platform for inviting us. I would say this is probably part of a wider strategy of the Irish Refugee Council, one, to help partners such as the Intercultural Platform, and then two, serve our mandate to support international protection applicants all around Ireland. we are seeing in communities that there is a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of I think there's demand or eagerness to speak with the likes of the Irish Refugee Council. I think we have a lot of experience and expertise that we can share with people. And it is hoped that we might have some impact in that regard in our visit.
In terms of misinformation, we've all heard the claims, oh, they're all getting free cars, they're all getting free houses, they don't need to have a driver's licence, they can drive without insurance. You get all sorts of claims made about what refugees can do, and sometimes it's specific to certain nationalities. And some people sort of say this as though they're truths. And how much of a difficulty is it for you to actually cut through that and try and actually put facts on the table?
It can be quite challenging. I think as a small organisation, we're about 30 plus people. We rely on partners like the Donegal Intercultural Platform, local authority integration teams, other local development companies to host us and to bring us into communities to help us reach those local networks. So it's it is a challenge, but it just requires that local level work, and that's something we're trying to do. We're trying to ramp up this year.
And Sabusio, going back to you from the point of view of working with the Donegal Intercultural Platform on a day-to-day basis, how much demand is there in Donegal across the county for proper advice, for proper help from the IRC?
Oh, there is a lot. In my role as in Pathway to Inclusion support role, I deal with about 30 direct provision centres, and sometimes it's so difficult to cover them all at once. For instance, there's been a lot of issues around deportation.
No, I'm afraid, Sabusio, we've lost you on that connection. I'm going to go back to you, Frank. We've lost this one, I think. So what I might try and do is just, Sabusio was trying to get in on another line. Yeah. I'm going to try and get back in. I'll come back to you, Frank, just for a moment while we try and just Sabusio out there. In terms of the sessions that are taking place, sessions today on youth work and education this afternoon, there's one on employment info going on at the moment. Sessions in Letterkenny tomorrow on work and education. Again, employment sessions in Donegal, Buncrana, and, you know, right across the county, but a lot of the sessions looking at youth work, education and employment.
It's one of our colleagues, our employment officer, who is there now, who has established a connection with Donegal Intercultural Platform. It's a big push. We have three employment officers in the Irish Refugee Council. Due to the nature of how employment rights work for international protection applicants at the moment, it's a challenging space to work within. And I won't go into the fine details of that, but will be, I guess, during the week. But we find that in that context, and given those challenges, a bit of extra support is often required. And that's why we have a significant employment team. And I would think that's probably why it's represented there on the schedule.
Sabusio, going back to you, and we have a different connection. Hopefully this is going to work a little better. In terms of the sessions taking place right across the county, you'd be urging people, obviously, who are part of the process, but also, I'm sure, urging others in the community to take part as well.
Yes, we are. We are reaching out to not just adults. We've also sessions that are set out to help the youth so that they can get meaningful engagement. Most of the times when we have information sessions and any other sessions that we have, we mainly focus on the adults. But this one is going to be different because IRC is also going to cater to the youth. So, yeah, we hope that it's going to cater to everyone.
And among the issues that are done as likely topics for discussion, you have issues like conflict resolution in IPAS centres, issues like that. And that's mm-hmm. always going to be a difficult one. It's important, I suppose, that the best advice is available to yourselves as a platform and indeed to all those involved in the centres and involved in the process of asylum seeking.
That is true, Greg. Sometimes, you know, because we deal with people, there are some issues that are sensitive because we deal with people that we know, and some issues are really private. We felt that bringing people who do not engage with them on a daily basis would be an opportunity for them to be free to express their views, and also for us to learn from IRC on how they've been resolving these conflicts and what measures and tools they are using.
And if people want to get a rundown of the various sessions taking place, as we said, today in the Finn Valley Centre in Ballybofey today, and sessions taking place in Letterkenny, Buncrana and Donegal Town over the course of the next couple of days, how can people get that information?
We sent out a flyer. It's got all that information, but they can also get hold of me. My email address is sibusiso, spelled S-I-B-U-S-I-S-O .dip@gmail.com. Or they can get more information from our offices just opposite entry on Plunkett Road and next to the library.
Sibusiso, thank you very much indeed. Frank, I want to give the final word to you before we go. As you said, important from the IRC's point of view to be invited to Donegal to be getting this information out there. And I suppose the most important thing at this point is the more information that's out there, the better.
Yeah, I think so. As I said, it's part of a wider strategy of the Irish Refugee Council to, I suppose we're based in Dublin, but we have a national mandate. It's part of a wider strategy to meet the demand that people have to have access to good information based on 30 years of experience we have working in this area. I would just add, just as a final note, anyone looking for information can also call our helpline, which is open today until 1, tomorrow until 1, and Thursday until 1 on 01 764 5854, or email us at info@irishrefugeecouncil.ie.
Franco Boyle, Manager of the Information and Advocacy Service at the IRC, and Sibusiso Shuma of the Donegal Intercultural Platform. Thank you both very much indeed. I'm back on the show with you tomorrow. John Breslin's up next around the Northwest. But from myself, Donal Kavanagh, until tomorrow, have a very good day. Thank you indeed to Donna Marie for producing, and to Shannon for all her help as well. Without them, there would have been no show.